to cover. Let's think about a Greek word just a little bit. Sometimes the Greek is such a fixed language, and we draw so much more from it. K-A-L-U-P-T-O, kalepto, which means it really has two sister words. One is steal and one is to hide. And when you cover something, if you're not careful, there in this generation is someone that will steal it from you and hide it from you by false doctrine. If he's able to interrupt various houses of supposed God's word and so forth, even from a pulpit, he will steal and cover over if he has an opportunity. And of course, I'm speaking of Satan. Now, what is your charge? To love God, to believe him, to have faith in him. You know why? Because he's your nearest relative. He's the closest relative you have, is the Creator. You belong to him. Whether you've dedicated yourself to him or not, it doesn't matter. He's already got you. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, all souls belong to God. Period. And you know, it's almost comical when you hear some person say, I think I'll give my soul to God. Well, how generous. Really? Wow. You know, he's already got it. And what he will do with it is the big question. When you come to that fork in the road, one side is a trail to the abyss, and it's rocky, or to eternity. So don't let anyone steal God's promises from you. You claim them, and when you claim them, you live them. And therefore, you find that peace of mind. Christ, in his own words, gave us a charge, something he kind of wants from us. And that's why I wanted to begin here in this 10th chapter of Matthew. And he is preparing, basically, people that will go out into the world and take God's word. Or just live. Because in a sense, your life as you live it, if an individual comes to you hungry for truth and asks a question, you should plant a seed. You really should. I didn't say dump the whole Bible on them. Okay? But plant a seed and see whether or not it will grow. Let's pick it up with verse 16 and we'll let it fall in shape for in our minds. 16, he's saying here, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. There's a lot more said in that if you break that back to the Greek also. Number one, I send you forth as sheep. Now, who is your shepherd? You know, a sheep is about the most helpless thing in the world without the shepherd. But he's with you. So you can have that assurance, though you may be nothing but a lamb among a pack of wolves. You've got a shepherd that knows how to throttle wolves, all right? And you know how to take name and kick dragon enough on your own. So never let that shake you. Your shepherd has a long staff with a big crook. And if the hook reaches out and gets them, you know what happened. Now, to say be wiser or as wise as the serpent, who is the serpent? It's Satan. You know his method of operation from God's word, so it's not all that big of a step for you to be even wiser than he is as far as that's concerned. And how can I utilize that power, wiser? Because you have power over him. You don't have to ask him to leave. He won't go in that case. You tell him. You order him. You use that authority that has been granted you from your Father, a gift. And that increases the love. The word harmless as doves, a dove is the sweetest little bird. I have five or six that come up and feed on the ground what my cardinals and finches drop down. They're not a real particular bird. They're so peaceful. They'll take what's left over even. And they look so pretty and so harmless, and they have such a coon voice, you know. But I'm going to give you some advice. Don't ever hanky with a mama dove's nest, all right? For her weight and size, she'll make a dent, all right? Now, the word harmless here, it's an interesting word. It means really to be akareos. It means don't mix. Don't mix with what? Doctrines, false doctrines. I'm going to send you out there, and don't you listen to a bunch of malarkey. Don't you listen to doctrines that are not written in this word, which that within itself means what? You must be familiar basically with the working plan of God. Or you've got no business going out there representing Him. Because he that is lurking to steal will rob you and use you in his own service, and you wouldn't even be aware of it. So that very verse is a powerful verse, and you've got to pay attention to it. It's powerful. Think about it. 17. But beware of men, anthropos. Boy, they'll fix your wagon. Men will, if you listen to them. Who are you supposed to listen to, and who is your shepherd? Christ is your shepherd. God is your shepherd. Listen to your Father and Yeshua, the Savior. You don't have to listen to men. If you do, it's all right to listen to a man or a woman or a child teach or to plant seeds, but you had better be well check them out in the Word of God as to whether it will stand the test, or you're robbed. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, that's Sanhedrins in the Greek, and deliver you up to councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And of course, he's speaking here of that final day when God's election are going to be delivered up. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. Why? Well, let's read on. 18. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake. Whose sake? For Christ's sake. That's who you serve. He is your role model. He set the path that you're to follow. For His sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles, would be better translated, nations. Hey, that's a pretty big mouthful there. For someone like you or myself, you know, to have an opportunity to witness for Christ against nations. Well, that's the way it's going to be. And that day is not that far away. So certainly, if you have allowed someone to steal your thunder, I'll use that term, before you get there, I'm sorry, you're kind of in trouble, aren't you? Or you may even be a good buddy by then if you've listened to too much false doctrine. I'm talking about a good buddy of the enemy. Verse 19, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. Sounds a lot like Mark 13, doesn't it? Sure does, only it gives you a little different approach, so don't go to sleep on me or you'll miss some wonderful truths. Verse 20, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Now let me ask you a question. What is the Spirit of your Father that speaks in you? Well, it's a ghost. No, it's no spook. And you won't find that word ghost in the manuscripts. You will in the King James, and that's well enough. It's just that you know I have a little problem with that. I really do. It's the Holy Spirit. And what is the Holy Spirit? It's your Father's Spirit. Wherever you see the Father, where you see the Son, you will see the Father also, for He is in His image. And where they two are, you will find that Spirit naturally. Why? It is the Spirit of your Father. Not somebody else's father. Don't try to separate yourself from this. Your father. 21. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Now, as it is written, and listen carefully, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, as it is written there, the purpose and the reason for that is Christ came to this earth to be crucified to destroy death, which is to say the devil. So the devil is death, and you're going to be delivered up to him for a witness and a testimony. You're not to premeditate what you'll say at that time. Christ is going to speak through you. That's wonderful. Luke 21 says even the gainsayers will be convinced by what you say at that time. And I have heard God's election say, I just wish I knew what my purpose was. I just wish I knew what God put me here for. Oof, what do you want? You know, I mean, after all, what a destiny. What a cause. What a purpose. That the Holy Spirit would choose you, that you haven't allowed someone to steal the truth from you or cover it whereby you could not see it and comprehend, that He is able to use you, your own Father, able to use you as a witness against Satan himself. Quite a thought. Quite a thought. This is Christ's instructions to this generation, the generation of the fig tree. Mark 13 documents that. That's you. Verse 22. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. No one likes to be hated. But hey, Satan hates you. And if Satan is able to grasp the minds of many people through false teaching, they're going to hate you too. Satan hates you, his children are going to hate you also. Why? Because you stand for the true Father. And you're a mark. You may not be taught. Satan's a very good scholar. That may surprise you. How did he contest Christ in the day of temptation? With Scripture. He's a Scripture lawyer. He knows the Scripture better than most Christians. He always just twisted a little bit. So be careful, my friend. And there's nothing to be afraid of, because God's not going to leave things covered for you, but He's going to unveil them. Okay. And why would a brother turn against a father, or a mother a daughter, and deliver them up to death? Well, it's very simple. Religion. That's the very simple rule. In other words, there's not a one of you that doesn't have a relative that is really religious. And if the false Christ showed up tomorrow, they would say, I love my sister or my brother so much. Will you go down there and help them? Would you just save them? They don't know what they're doing. Be gracious to them. They're going to turn you into Him thinking it is Christ. I mean, isn't that what you're supposed to do, is to help spread the seed of truth? Only, unfortunately for them, it's not the truth. Because they have listened to traditions of men rather than the Word of God. It's a very dangerous thing for them. Not for you. You have nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. Endure. It's easy. In the truth, when your shepherd is Christ that takes care of all things you can't, basically. 23, and when they persecute you in this city, flee you into another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. You know, He has given us great advantages in this generation. That He gives us a platform that reaches around the world. That's awesome when you stop and think about it. It's a miracle that common country folk and city folk join together. By that I mean people that utilize common sense could have the platform that we as a body do to make sure that word does go around the world. And don't Don't think I'm saying we're the only church and body there is. No, Christ is the only church and body there is. And we don't know how many groups he has, but that's not going to make us idle our motor any. We're full speed ahead, all right, when the timing is timing. 24. The disciple, now mark in your mind, disciple comes from, our word discipline comes from this word. It means a student. The student is not above his master, or to say teacher. In Christ, of course, let it not escape you, is our teacher. Nor the servant above his Lord, or that is to say, one that serves above his master. It just isn't the way it is. That's common sense, is it not? You don't have too many people that will go out and say, are you looking for labor? Or, well, yes, I would like to hire you to be my boss. I've never had anyone say that to me yet. It doesn't work that way. Christ is the boss in a very gentle way of his leadership. So that's just common sense, isn't it? We live with that all the time. Okay, 25. It is enough, or it's sufficient, for the disciple, the student, that he is as his master. In other words, he's going to become as his master, his teacher. A student's going to listen to a teacher for a while, and pretty soon that student perhaps will surpass the teacher in knowledge and wisdom, if it be God's will. And the servant as his Lord, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, that's the king of the dunghill, if they call Jesus that, how much more shall they call them of his household? What do you think they're going to call you? You want to be popular? I'm going to tell you what, winning popularity contests doesn't cut it, friend, when Satan is kind of the prince of the power of the air in this world today. If that's what you've got your sights on, is being the pretty baby, you know, that draws all unto me. That was Christ. They didn't like him. They called him the king of the dunghill, Beelzebub, or Baal, false. What do you think they're going to call you if you teach the truth? That isn't difficult to figure out, and Christ has a way of putting it where it's so clear. 26, how are you to think on these things? Listen carefully. Fear them not, therefore. For there is nothing covered, kalopto, that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Satan may try to hide some things. Man may stir the water until it's so muddy you can hardly see the bottom. But the truth will come out if you use the set of instructions that God sent along with your flesh, body, and your soul, whereby you could improve yourself, that you could know you were a child of God. Think about that. Do you realize that makes you special? Now, I don't want to have to get a needle out and punch your balloon, because that doesn't put you on an ego trip. It just means how special you are compared to Satan. In that filthy lot, you're somebody. Act like it, always, a Christ man, a child of God. 27. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon housetops. In other words, when you study his word, and you uncover, and he assists you through the Father's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the unction, and you intuitively know truth when you hear it. Why? Because it's common sense. It is so simple. Christ always taught in a very simplistic way. And when you hear man complicate it, be careful. There's something wrong. For the Word of God is not complicated for those that love Him and are searching for that simple truth. When he gives you something, don't be afraid to share it if someone seeks that seed, you know. Or if you are called as one to preach, preach it from the housetops. You can boldly go forward with it, but always utilizing common sense. 28. and fear none of them which kill the body, that's to say, your flesh body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. In other words, man cannot take nor harm nor bend your soul. He may try to wear you down. He may try to wear you out. But he cannot determine what your soul is going to believe. That's strictly on your part. Your soul is yourself, and it believes what you choose to believe. And I cannot understand in this confused age and time how anyone could help but believe on our Father. When you see that His words, His prophecies are coming to pass around this globe at the speed of a bullet, just prophecy after prophecy. I could remember as a young man, sometimes it would be seem to me like it would be 10 years between prophecies. And now those labor pains, or as labor pains, those prophecies are getting closer and closer. And it's also because things are being uncovered. God gives us the unction. It's like an object lesson when He allows these prophecies to come to pass, and you see that it is an actual pictorial object lesson to the Christian to know, yes, our Father said it, it's so, it comes to pass exactly as it is written. So you don't have to fear those. The flesh is very temporal, but the soul is eternal. And that causes some to say, well, I kind of hate to have them. That's the law of survival that God has placed in you. Naturally, we don't want to die too soon. You know, we want to do what God would have us do, and it is nature that we protect ourselves. That's true. And He, as your shepherd, is going to protect that part anyway. In other words, what I'm saying is, if the fact that don't fear those that can kill your body stirs you up, then you forgot to lock in back there and depend upon and have faith on that He said, I'm your shepherd. I'm sending you out as sheep, and that means I am your guide on. I got that big hook, that big staff right there behind you. Then you're not worried about them. Because they reach out, He says, touch not mine anointed. And you can believe that. When they get ready to touch your body, He's going to hook them. Now, sometimes He likes for you to smarten up a little bit if you get a little lax, too. You know, Jesus will take care of me all the way. I don't have to do anything as I walk in this life. He'll let Satan eat you alive. Because you're not smart enough to look out for the common, utilizing common sense to take care of what you can take care of. He'll take care of what you can't. All right? But you take care of what you can, He'll do the rest, and you can rest assured in that. Okay, that was just a little checky-checky there to make sure that your little heart wasn't running away with you there in fear because you forgot to lock in. He is our shepherd. Okay, and he continues. 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? One? That's a very small change. And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. Without your Father what? Knowing it. If he knows when a little sparrow falls. And as it's written in the book of Job, he even hears the ravens' babes cry out in the nest because they're hungry. Do you think you being his child with an eternal soul that he doesn't know what you have need of, do you think he doesn't know that that you're in trouble? Or as it is written in the 18th chapter of this same book, in the 10th verse, your angel has the face of God at any time he chooses. Meaning if you get in trouble, your angel will let God know it and he'll hook them. Do you believe that? Well, I don't know. Well, it won't work for you. Forget it. You've got to believe. He is your Father. He is real, and so are you, and this is a real world. Don't try to play church or play religion. It's a reality. It is truth. It is a fact. Verse 30. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. It means He knows exactly how to take care of you. And some of us, as we move along in life, it's a lot easier for Him to count. You know, and 31. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. You're having a hint there at the unforgivable sin. You that would not allow the Holy Spirit, if you know better, to speak through you when you're delivered up before the false Christ, as it is written in Luke chapter 12, verse 10, that is the unforgivable sins, to deny the Holy Spirit, or call blaspheme the Holy Spirit. So acknowledge the Holy Spirit, witness for Christ before men, and you've got it made. All right? 33. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Gone, out of here, forgotten, unforgivable. 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I thought that's what Jesus was the Prince of Peace. Well, He is ultimately. But He's talking about the earth here. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I am not to send peace. I come not to send peace, but a sword. What is that sword? Revelation 1, 15 or 16. Which is it? His tongue is a two-edged sword. His truth cuts both ways. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It stings. It will penetrate anything His truth will. Use it. And He will back you up in your daily life. He will protect you. 35, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Many would say, well, that sounds like Jesus is a troublemaker. No, it's because He loves them. They're going to hell if somebody doesn't do something. Do you think Jesus just wants to sit back and let them go to hell? And I'm being very plain. No, He's going to use you to do something about it. He's going to use you to witness against the deceiver. And your family is going to hear it. There's going to be some of them that are going to say, you know, I remember when this person told me this would happen a few years back. And here it is. They knew exactly. God must have touched them. This is exactly what they said would happen. A prophecy is not a prophecy unless it's declared before the fact. All right, enough said. That's why He turns them against each other. In other words, truth in you will turn your kin sometimes against you. But don't worry about it. Love them. Understand them. Plant those seeds. Set the example. Kin folks are very valuable. Relatives, if you prefer. Family is really something special. Never, you're not the judge of time. God is. It's not time for them yet. So be patient and fish, you know. And fishing doesn't mean throw the boat anchor at them or set off a stick of dynamite. That's bad fishing, okay? Fish with your family and love them, all right? You know what I mean. And sometimes you just, it's not possible. Paul said, if it be possible. Sometimes it isn't. You just have to let God handle it. Or Satan. You know, sometimes if you just turn them over to Satan, he'll wool on them, and pretty soon they're saying, help! Somebody help me. then you can. Okay, but that, understand, that's why Jesus turns against us, because He loves them. 35, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household for the reasons expressed. 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. You must love him more than anything, and that's not asking too much. I know in Luke, what is it, chapter 14, it's even written, if you're going to follow me, you've got to hate your mother and father. But the Greek word is love less. You've got to love them less than you do me. Why? Why? Because he's your nearest relative. He's your father. And that's not just a dream. That's a fact. And you should love him more. That doesn't mean you're not to love your family and enjoy them if it's possible. And treasure them. Lead them. You know, sometimes you can lead, and if they really thought you were, it would cause a grand explosion, okay? But you do it by your actions, all right? Okay? And you love God more, and He will give you other things that will help you smooth the path. Okay, verse 38, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." That has a frightening thought for some. I don't find it frightening. You know what you pick the cross up for? Just picture back the path up to Golgotha and you'll figure it out pretty quick. Jesus and two or three others took up their cross and started up that path for to be crucified. What he's saying, I hope you're willing that if it came to it, when it came time to defend the truth against Satan. But if it came to that, so what? Well, he doesn't demand that. But when you follow Christ, hey, especially if you intend to be a public figure while you're at it, you better be prepared to be very wise as far as protecting yourself. It's dangerous to teach the truth. It really is. Verse 39. And that shouldn't worry anyone, all right? It really shouldn't. How precious our Father that He would die for us and we would worry about serving Him? I think not. 39. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that finds the old easy-going way of the world, I don't have time to study God's Word. I've got so many things to do here and I've got to go fishing. Got to go party a while now. You know, I don't have time for God. Hey, pick the easy way anyway. You're going to lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. If you were to lose your life for him, you would have eternal life with him. In Ezekiel 44, where we're already in the millennium, he stipulates there, don't give mine election a lot of land because I am their inheritance. Meaning God, our Father, is your inheritance. He owns everything. That means you do too. At that time. Think about it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. We're one family. The love within that, just hang on to it and meditate on it sometime. 41. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Respect God's servants. Respect your Christian brothers and sisters. I dare say it is not uncommon that sometimes, and you don't have to feel bad or regret it, sometimes your Christian brothers and sisters are nearer relatives to you than your own brothers and sisters, all right, or cousins or aunts or uncles. You have better fellowship. And it's a closer family in certain respects. That does not take away from the love of your family. You know what I'm talking about. I need not explain it. 42. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. What about this drink of water? Who's the living water? Christ is. So somebody can be starving or hurting, and you can plant one little glass of true water in them, and they're never going to thirst again. Just like Jesus said to the woman at the well, partake of this water and you'll never thirst again. So share that water, the water of life, true life. Okay, turn with me, if you would, real quickly to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians I believe we want chapter 4. We're going to take a few verses here and there. Who does God Himself cover the truth from? This is an important question. We've got to spend just a minute on it. All right. Who is it that God hides truth from? And I think this is a good question because it might save you a lot of time of trying to prepare a seedbed that is non-existent, basically. Chapter 4, verse 1, 2 Corinthians. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, what's that? Christ's ministry. As we have received mercy, we faint not. In other words, it may get a little tough, but hey, God's mercy is sufficient to see us through. But have renounced, verse 2, but have renounced the hidden things. That's the covering. The same word I have shared with you. The hidden things of dishonesty. You see, there's some dishonest things that are kind of covered. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. Do you know that a good teacher can choose to do that if he chooses? You can take the Word of God and if you want to use it deceitfully, maybe I could turn into a money grubber. Maybe I should say, we can't start this meeting till we take up an offering and I can prove it right here in the Word. You can kind of tell where a man's heart is by listening to him a little bit, all right? Teach the Word as it's written. You read the Word as it's written. And you teach it honestly. Don't misuse it. Okay, but by manifestations of the truth, commending ourselves, to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Let the chips fall wherever they may, all right? If you've got God's gift, you don't have to worry about it being blessed. God will bless it, and that's sufficient, all right? Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, if it be veiled, if it be covered, and don't forget the verb that is a part of kalapata. That verb is steal. Make sure no one steals it from you. Just a little waver of attention here and say, well, if I told you what I heard another preacher say, and here's a little paper he puts out. It's not the Bible. You got to learn when somebody shoves a paper in your face, let the signs go up. It might be very good. It might be current events. It might be something very useful. But it's not God's Word, so let the flags go up. There are people that try to hide the truth by their own condition because they're probably practicing vainglory for themselves, trying to bring forth something they can make it sound, oh, very exciting, you know, really a great discovery, and it probably doesn't amount to a hill of beans, you know. And they'll be probably proved wrong. Don't let someone alter God's Word on you. That's the point. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them. That what? This is why it's hidden. It is hidden to them that are lost. Lost from what? Well, they don't love God anyway. It's automatically covered to them. Christ taught this concerning the parables. Why can't they understand the parables? It's not meant for them to. They're not ready. They're lost. Nothing you can do about it until they decide to help themselves. It's like a lot of you that have a relative that's a drunk. You decide, I'm going to sober them up. Not until they're ready, friend, you're not. They will lie to you, con you, and now, the reason I know I'm a pastor, I've had it done to me, all right? I'm pretty gullible, or I used to be more so than I am now. They promised me this, son, I quit, I'm through. I promise you if you'll just help me this one more time, I'm through. And incidentally, could you loan me $10? I'm headed to the line. Woo! You know, I mean, how did I get on that? I don't know. Anyway, back to the chase here. You listen to God's Word. Those that are lost, you can't help them that much other than plant seeds, all right? It's hidden. But do you want to know the main reason? Listen carefully. 4. In whom the God... Now, do you see that's a lowercase G? It's not a big old capital G. This is a little would-be God, in other words. The God of this world hath blinded the minds. He's done what? He's blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Those are as true of words as you will ever read in your life as to what is wrong in this world today. If you think that Satan doesn't know, and he will, if he ever gets them going his way, he'll just pour more trash on them all the time. But I mean false teachings. He's a great teacher of God's Word. Again, I'll reiterate, he documented that when he tempted Christ in Matthew 4. And I mean, he threw some scriptures at Christ that if you weren't a pretty good student yourself, you wouldn't know that he twisted. It was totally true up until about the last imp, and then he just turned it off center about 15 degrees and lied. He made it sound like it. That's not what it says. No, it doesn't. He lied. Satan knows you. And if he can deceive you, he will. If he can get you to listen to someone just a moment, to pull things out of context, to cause you to lose focus of God's Word, he's going to do it. Now, do you know that he's done it in part in that very verse? Did you know that? He has twisted that very verse through the translators, just a little twitch there that really kind of makes it like, when it's really something. You see the word that is spelled there, W-O-R-L-D? World. Could you tell me and explain to me how in the world a translator could translate that W-O-R-L-D when the Greek manuscripts are A-I-O-N? Do you know what A-I-O-N in Greek is? Aeon. Age. He's not the prince of this cosmos, this world forever. Only this world age. It was twisted. Because if you don't understand the ages, you're in trouble already. The first age, the one that was before this one, and the one that's to come. Satan will rob you. He will steal from you. He will hang you out to dry. So don't let him. Well, how can I prevent it? Stay focused. Stop listening to men, this man or any other man, and stay with the Scripture. It's simple. You can handle it. You can cut it. So God simply allows it to be hidden, and Satan jumps on the bandwagon and will get you so far off track, because he is. God allows him to be the God of this age. If you want to let him, or the contrary to that is, you can stay in Christ and in His name with a big old staff in your hand, His hand rather. He'll reach out and hook them for you. He'll take care of the hard work, that you can't handle. Do you believe that? You know, I know that you all in this room do, but it's very, because I know most of you have experienced this. You say, he just opened the floodgates for me, and I just rejoice in my heart when I see you all rejoice for the blessings of God. You know, I really do. He's real, and you can count on it. But Satan is real also. And he is your enemy. And the more you love God, the more of an enemy he is to you. He's going to stop you if he can. But he can't touch you as long as you disallow it. You take names and kick dragons. You don't put up with it. Don't listen to this stuff. Well, Christians are just supposed to lay down in the road and say, be the welcome mat for traffic of everywhere and show them what a nice person you are. That's not what God taught. He told you to be salty. That means to be able to make a difference, to make something a little more flavorful than bland old stuff. That gets it said, doesn't it? Whatever. There is a God of this world, and God allows it, this age, world age. Watch Him, or He'll confuse you. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. We are just slaves to Him, basically, is what He's saying. 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God to the in the face of Jesus Christ. In other words, we're children of light, and within that there is no darkness. If you're a child of the day, Satan is the night, all right? Don't ever get fed in, because you're never in the night. Why? You're a child of the day. And that light is with you always. 7, but we have the treasures in earthen vessels, these old flesh bodies, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, if you have trouble, friend, remember that verse, okay? It's not us. It's God. God is where the light shines from. I'm going to tell you, if you're counting on your light, your wick's going to burn up pretty quick, all right? You're going to run out of oil if you don't have somebody helping you and boosting a bunch, and that's our Father. So remember, not of us, but of the Father. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, but we have to face it, all right? But that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. I mean, these old bodies that will die. We've got something much better. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. In other words, we may have faced death daily bringing you the truth, but it's worth it because Christ in you lives. It's worth it serving God, in other words, to be able to share the good news. That's all he's saying. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. Make a note of Psalms chapter 116, verse 10. It's powerful, and it'll stick with you, all right? When people try to give you trouble and you think you've come to the end of your road, read it. Psalms 116:10, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with all in all. Why? We're one family. And if he raised Jesus, why wouldn't he raise you? Do you know that no one has died yet spiritually, that is to say, not even Satan? He's right there where he's supposed to be, held captive. 15, for all things are for your sakes. All this suffering is for your sakes. Are you willing to do that so that your family can have the truth? Okay, that you stand the line, that the abundant grace may, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Isn't it worthwhile? It certainly is, beloved. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. In other words, how can I simplify that? Never give up. You don't have to. Never quit and never give up. Now, there may be times that you pretty soon you've tried that. Go a little different course. You know, be wise. You're supposed to be wise. Try it a little different way. Or after you try it 3 times and you don't make it true, say, I got it, Lord, you don't want me to do that. We'll just get a whole new plan going here. All right? Sometimes you have to do that. 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Doesn't even compare. So the little troubles we have in this life, that it may seem like doom, doom, doom one day, don't worry. The next day's coming along. It's going to brighten up. Fine. God loves us. He really does, and He proves it over and over. Let Him and listen to Him. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In other words, remember it, we walk by faith, not by sight. You can't see. It's in a different dimension, the most beautiful thing. Now, in closing, I want to cover one more verse with you here or two. Very short, but very important. Let's start with verse 13. Remember when Moses came down from the mountain and the glory of God, the Holy Spirit had been with him, Godhead our Father, and his face shone so bright with the presence of God that he had to put a veil to cover his face. Remember? I'm going to pull on that word covering for a moment. 13. And not as Moses, which had put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. In other words, they knew Moses had been near God, and he was shining that glory. Let's call it the Shekinah glory, and you'll be correct, all right? That it was going to dim so that he was covered, not because they couldn't look upon him, but they didn't want to see God's grace diminish. What it's saying here, in Christ, you don't have to worry about that. Christ's grace, and that's your kind of glory, is with him always. 14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil or covering. This is the same word as cover or hide. Untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Christ removes the veil of misunderstanding and brings in truth and love and knowledge. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. The lost it is. I'm sorry, we're in chapter 3 in 2 Corinthians, and I started reading with verse 13, and we are now at verse 15. Ain't I a good one? Oh, boy. Verse 16 reads, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Do you want to turn to the Lord and have the veil taken away from you, whereby you can see? That's to say the covering, where your eyes can see truth. Of course you do. And which is one of the best ways to turn to the Lord? To His Word. That makes His day. It makes Him really appreciate you because He wrote this especially to you, and it documents that you love Him just the same as if you receive a letter from a member of your family, you open it and you anxiously read it to see what's happened with them and so forth. Well, so it is with God's Word and His anxiety towards you. 17, now the Lord is that Spirit. Now, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. What Spirit is that? Again, it's the Holy Spirit. My friends, let me give you a little point here, and I don't want you to ever forget it. Christianity does not put you in bondage. It gives you liberty. And if you ever hear a preacher, well, forgive me for using it, but it's so easy. Divorce, all right? So many churches, you sit in the back there, and don't you dare go near them little ones, you divorcee you, okay? But I repented. Sorry, it don't matter. Christ didn't have power to forgive. The back of the bus, please. People are cruel and terrible, and that confines. In other words, they're putting you in chains. Doesn't it tell you something is wrong when Christianity doesn't set you free? After repentance? Of course there's something wrong. Get rid of it. Shake it out. Quite frankly, don't go back anymore if they try to. Liberty is what Christ set you at, and don't you let anyone steal that from you or hide it from you. The truth, that is to say. Now, I know I get more debates from preachers over that one statement, but I can handle myself with preachers, okay? Good preachers I love to visit with. The others, it's a debate time, and usually they're, oh well. 17. Now the Lord is, we got that. 18. And we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same, get this, same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let Him bless you in your life. It's like looking in a mirror. Let us make man in our image, is the point we're getting at here. And the closer you grow to God, you know something? You can tell by people's countenance. You really can. Different people have different temperaments, and praise God for that. Wouldn't you hate it if everybody was like me? Okay, you know, that'd get old quick, wouldn't it? But we're all as we are, but you can tell by someone's countenance whether they love the Lord or not, whether they really, because He's in them. He's actually in them. And it reverberates from them. The eye mirrors the very soul, and if Christ is in your soul, it comes out through that eye, and you just love to be around a person like that, and you're going to be a little saltier afterwards than you were before. And not only that, you're going to be able to expound some of that salt from somebody else, and that's good. It's wonderful. It's tasteful. Our Father's Word. Don't remember the word, the verb part of kauptu. It's to steal. Don't let someone steal the truth from you. And I cannot guarantee you that. You've got to do it yourself. You've got to learn to check it out for yourself. Because pretty soon, if you allowed a man to do all the work for you, you would be following a man, not Christ, because you would be taking His word for everything, and that's not healthy. You've got to check it out in God's Word yourself. Much as we've done today, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, the covering that's hid. Who is it hidden from? Those that are lost. You're not lost. So it shouldn't be hidden from you. Relish it. Enjoy it. And when you look through that veil of truth, I'm not going to, but you know, we could go on then to the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians and go where a woman is supposed to have a veil or a covering over her head because of the angels. I know some women, of course that veil is Christ. And good Christian women, Satan's not going to come near them in the first place. Okay, I'll just say that in closing. Keep that uncovering attitude about you. God promised you in these scriptures that we covered today, He said, I'm not going to keep anything secret. There's nothing hidden that will not be ripped open. My words. He said uncovered, but that's exactly what He meant. That you are fed from His Word to the full. That you can conduct yourself as a child of God. And when you go forward in life, you know, you don't have to tell people. They'll know it. You think about it. Father, we thank You for the Word. Father, thank You for the uncovering as well as the covering, Father. Thank You for the power You have given us over Satan, his lies and his deception that he would espouse upon the people of this world, and giving us such a powerful platform, Father, that we can exercise the rights You have given us, yielding the sword of truth in a mighty way, Father, because of You, through You, and for You, and by You. In Yeshua's name, amen.